Hebrews 11.
What?
Hebrews 11. All right, welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We are resuming again after our break between winter and spring term and continue in Hebrews chapter 11. We last read verse 23. We're in the great by faith chapter, and so we get tons and tons of datives of means, by faith, by faith, by faith. And verse 23 of chapter 11, which we read last time, said, the writer, of course, is narrating the Old Testament greats, if I could say it that way. So verse 23, by faith Moses, after he had been born, was hidden. Trimenon is an adjective in the accusative singular, answering the question, how long? For 3 months, by his parents. And then this always struck me as odd. There's something else going on here. Because they saw the child to be asteion. It's often translated handsome or well-bred. But clearly they weren't thinking, oh, he'll be a movie star someday. Maybe he looked like Charlton Heston. Maybe that was the problem. And they did not fear the decree of the king, is verse 23. But then verse 24 picks up with more about Moses. And, in fact, we stay with Moses then until we get through verse 29, and then we get into the conquest, which all was by faith. So we'll just pick up at verse 24 and read it. And this is actually a fairly long sentence. So we'll get verse 24 down, and then we'll see that 25 and 20, most of 26 actually are participle constructions that hang off of the main verb that we get in verse 24. So at any rate, verse 24 would sound something like this. Piste Moses, megas genamenas, ernesata. Now there's the main verb. It's from arneomai, means to renounce or deny. Ernesata legestai huiastigatras faaro, pharao, ... So we'll take that much first. So once again, piste is the dative singular of pistis, and that's the dative of means, as we've seen about a gazillion times already. By faith, Moses, and then you have the participle of ginomai, aorist participle, being or becoming great, and this probably refers primarily to after he had grown up, right? So having become big, ernesata, this is from, again, arneomai, it's a deponent verb, and it can have, I guess it always means to deny or renounce, but the action of denying or renouncing can be a good or a bad one. So, for instance, this is the verb along with op arneomai in the Gospels, where if anyone denies me before men, I will deny him before the Father. But here it's clearly Moses' positive action. So, again, aorist, indicative, middle deponent. So Moses denounced or renounced. And what did he renounce? We have an infinitive as the object of the verb. So legestai, which is the present infinitive, could be middle. We'll take it as passive. He renounced to be called or to be said, quote, son of the daughter of Pharaoh. Right? So this is the identity and the vocation, if you could say it that way. This is the what Moses renounced. And he did it for participial reasons, if I could say it that way, which we're going to come to in verses 25 and 26. But that's the basic structure of the sentence there in verse 24. And then we don't actually get another main verb until the very end of verse 26. So it's a fairly long sentence. We've had some decent short sentences, at least to an English speaker here in chapter 11, but this is a fairly long one. So again, the basic sense of verse 24 then, by faith Moses, after he had become great or I think it probably refers to him growing up, renounced to be called, quote, son of the daughter of Pharaoh, comma, sentence goes on. Questions at all? Anything about verse 24 that comes to your mind? Okay? All right, well, then we'll get some of this, the participial stuff under our belt. And I think we'll just take verse 25 and analyze that, and then verse 26. So, comma, after verse 24, then, Malan helamanas sinkakukestai tola o tutheu e proskairon echein hamartias apalausen. Now, this is a great example, especially toward the end of the you know, gives us 17th rule is pars or die. This is word order seems fairly random to us. Now, malan, of course, is an adverb that means rather, and you can see right below it in the next line is a, rather than. So you know you're going to get a comparison here. Now, helamanos is a form that you get automatic certification and election as synodical president if you know this form. Does anybody know what this is from? Yeah, it's a part. It's exactly right. It's a middle passive participle form. Exactly right. This is actually from Ireo, and it has no letters in common. Okay, this is the. It's not just a strong aorist. This is a very strong aorist. This is from I believe that the third principal part is helamein. It's very strong, very unpredictable. You have to look it up. The only one that would know this would be Ben Smith. I think Ben would probably know this form, but he's a mutant, although a friendly mutant, right? So rather, now just a weaseling it for a second, the middle voice of hireo means to choose. So this would be aorist participle middle, masculine singular nominative, and Moses is the referent, right? So rather choosing. Now, this is the next form is obviously a middle passive infinitive, sthai. Choosing to be maltreated, followed by a dative of accompaniment with the people of God. So choosing to be maltreated with God's people rather than, and now we just see the infinitive ekain, you're supposed to repeat the participle. Rather than choosing to have. And now we're looking for a noun. Up, oh, it's the last word in the verse. Apalausen is feminine singular accusative, and it means enjoyment. And it's modified for no apparent reason by the adjective proskairon, which is in front of it, three words, and that means temporary or transitory. Okay. So, and then hamartias is genitive singular. So you put that together by choosing rather to be maltreated with God's people than to have the transitory enjoyment, hamartias, of sin. Sin's transitory pleasure or something like that. So the two infinitives would actually be both, if you wanted to give them a label, a syntactical label, you could label them object infinitives because they're what Moses chose. So those two infinitives are each the object of helamanos, right? And if we wanted to ask the question, okay, what's the force of the participle choosing? In this context, a causal translation for this predicate position participle works well enough. Because he chose rather to be maltreated or mistreated with God's people than to have the fleeting or transitory enjoyment of sin. Right? And all of that is explaining or helping to explain why Moses renounced to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Because he chose this rather than choosing this. Right? So verse 25, in a sense, is the equivalent of a fairly large dependent clause, right? Because it's all a participial construction. So, okay. Any cleanup that we need to do there? Questions? Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
I should know this, but I don't. So I'll ask.
There's a lot of things like that. Join the club. Yes. It's actually feminine singular accusative. Prusk, I had a look. Thank you for asking. I looked this up. It's an adjective. Yeah, no. It's actually just a two-termination adjective. That is, the masculine and the feminine forms are the same. And so it's normally taken just as modifying a palauzin. You could, were you wanting to take it like temporarily? Yeah. That's right, rather than temporarily having the enjoyment of sin. I didn't even think about that, but I, in that case, it would parse as neuter singular accusative. Yep. Which I think is possible. I hadn't even thought about that. I was just proud of myself that I remember that some adjectives are two termination adjectives. So, and Smythe's classical grammar actually says that most, of course, it's never all, right? Does it always do this? They said that most compound adjectives are two termination, where the masculine and feminine forms are the same, and then you have the neuters that are different in the nominative and the accusative, singular and plural. So pros chiron is obviously a compound adjective. But that's an interesting suggestion. Does anybody have an English translation? I didn't bring an English Bible with me. I wonder how they take that as modifying directly enjoyment or what do you got there, Dan? Which translation? Hebrews 11, 25. Yep. Looking for the translation of pros chiron there. Yes. Okay, they take it as directly adjectival. Yeah, fleeting pleasure. Yeah. So, but I couldn't gainsay the other one. And knowing Hebrews, almost anything is fair game, right? So, right. So, but a good observation. So, and we have seen plenty of adverbial accusatives in Hebrews. And again, it's not that common in the gospel, certainly not that common in the gospels. But again, it's kind of like, well, apparently in older Greek, it was the adverbial accusative that was much more common than the dative, what we would call the dative of reference or the dative of respect, where you just say with reference to. This could very well be that same thing. So, and those forms again tend to be neuter singular accusative forms when they're adjectives. So, okay, good. Well, we're not done with the sentence yet. We want to, just because we're inspired, to have another participle, right? And so we'll pick up verse 26. So reading it first of all, Medzana Pluton, Hege Samanas, Ton Aegyptu Thesaron, Ton Anedisman Tu Christu. And then finally, a short independent clause, An Eblepen Gar Ace Tain Mistha Parazion. So here at the beginning of the verse, we have yet another participle, masculine singular nominative. So the sentence is still extending, and the referent is still Moses in verse 24. Okay? Hege Samanas is the aorist participle middle of what's deponent of Hegeomai, which means to regard or to think, right? And this one actually works fairly well, again, in a causal sense, because the referent again is Moses. He had regarded. Now we want to look for an accusative direct object, and we've got two nouns. We've got Pluton, which means wealth or riches, and we've got, right below it, Ton Anedisman, the reproach of Christ. And because reproach has the article, it wins the direct object battle, if I could say it that way. So because he, Moses, regarded the reproach of Christ, or Christ's reproach, as greater wealth of the treasures of Egypt. And so that, let's see, how are we going to put that? I didn't even think about that. A wealth greater than the treasures of Egypt. Yeah, I think we can take, now meidzana, the first word in the verse, is the comparative of megas. So megas is great, meidzon is greater, and it's masculine singular accusative, it's third declension, so nothing as, I, a, there's the ending there. And it modifies wealth, pluton. And because you have a comparative, the genitive of the treasures of Egypt is the genitive of comparison, right? So, again, take tan anedisman as the direct object, and greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt as, let's see, that would be what Daniel Wallace calls an object complement, double accusative. So the object is reproach, and the complement is wealth. And the older grammars would call wealth just a predicate accusative. And what you do when you translate is you supply as or a form of the linking verb between the two accusatives. So he regarded the reproach of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. And then a short gar clause, for he, and now this is from apoblepo, you can see the temporal augment, and you can see that this is an imperfect, because you see the blep stem rather than the bleps stem. So it's an imperfect indicative active, third singular with the movable nu. He kept on intently looking unto the reward. It's a little disappointing. Misthapadazion means reward. It's a little long for that, or wages. But we've had a reference to that earlier in the chapter. And the reward is actually eschatological. We're going to get, we've had talk of inheritance earlier in the chapter. And so for Moses, in the first case, it was the promised land, right? Which, of course, is a type, in light of New Testament teaching, is a type of the new heavens and the new earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So at the very least, I have a short clause at the end. For he kept on looking intently unto, or toward, the reward, the mistha parazia. So if we put that whole thing together, see, it's one sentence. 24, 25, 26 is one sentence. So we have a 1, 2, 3 participles. Well, excuse me, I guess you could take the gar clause as part of the same sentence. So we'll do the whole thing, and then we'll go a little bit farther before we stop. So by faith, Moses, after he had become great, renounced to be called the son of the daughter of Pharaoh, because he chose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than to have the fleeting enjoyment of sin. Because he regarded the reproach of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. For he kept on looking intently unto the reward. So that's a fairly difficult thing. So good. Clean up. Questions? Aren't you glad that Hebrews is only taught as an elective, right? Yeah. Dr. Meyer, I think, actually taught Hebrews last term. So. All right, let's go forward. We can get a little bit further into this chapter. So at the very least, we get our familiar construction at the beginning of verse 27. Piste kat elepen aegypton me phabethes tan thiman tu basileos tangar aoraton hos haron ekarteresen. So once again, dative of means. By faith, he, Moses, in context, forsook Egypt, or abandoned Egypt, Now, another participle, negated as the New Testament typically does with may. This, of course, is from phobeo, aorist participle passive, masculine singular nominative. The referent is he, of he forsook or abandoned. And again, a causal translation works fairly well. Because he did not fear the wrath of the king. For, and now the verb of the gar clause is the last word in the verse, from kartereo. This verb doesn't occur very often in the New Testament. What it reminded me of, actually, is in Acts 2:42, this famous passage about they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and so forth. That's actually pros kartereo. So kartereo has a similar meaning. It means to engage in or attend to, right? He attended to, or actually in our day and age, we might say he stayed focused, okay? And now this is the participle that's right in front of us, hos haron, see that? That's from harao, okay, which means to see, as we know. Now, hos plus the participle like that is actually an interesting construction. It can be translated a number of ways. It can be, and I looked at the ESV, actually, I think it translated it as if. And it's you take the this participle as predicate position with he of he stayed focused as the referent. So he stayed focused as if he was seeing. Then you go back to the front of the clause, ton aoraton, masculine singular accusative, the unseen one, okay, which is a reference to God. The other way to take this participle is it expresses the conviction of the referent, in which case you translate it as something like, as one who was convinced he was seeing the unseen one. But at any rate, it modifies and helps to explain why Moses stayed focused. So verse 27, we'll do that and then stop. For by faith he, Moses, left Egypt behind or abandoned Egypt because he did not fear the king's wrath. This has to be the later wrath of the king. Remember, he initially fled Egypt to go to Midian precisely because he was afraid, right? But this is at the time of the Exodus. For he was intent or stayed focused as one who was seeing the unseen one, namely God. And we can stop there, and we'll pick up next week at verse 28. So thank you very much. Hebrews. Can't live with it, can't live without it.
Leave it on the curb. I was wondering how you were going to do 26.
Yeah.